Hi, this is Tim Underwood, a committed friend and follower of Jesus Christ. I've wrestled with what that might mean in practical, day-to-day ways. Here are some of my thoughts. They've helped me clarify a few things. I hope they're useful for you as well, or at least get you thinking. There are a number of verses in the New Testament which have long fascinated and frustrated me. Let me quote a couple of them for you. John 14:13, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Matthew 21:21, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." These are what I call blank check promises. Jesus says essentially, "Here's the check. I've already signed at the bottom. Just fill in the amount yourself and cash it." It's like having Bill Gates, the multi-billionaire, as your generous father. Only God makes Bill Gates look like small fry when it comes to resources. God built the whole universe by simply speaking it into existence. His bank account is literally limitless. These are fascinating promises for those of us who constantly battle our human limitations, whether financial, practical, spiritual, or otherwise. They make us into dreamers. As the Apostle Paul would later say about God in Ephesians 3:21, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." When we became believers in Jesus, we also became heirs in the richest family in the universe. The possibilities are limitless. We've won the spiritual lottery. Yet I've also found these blank check promises frustrating. Why? Because my checks often seem to bounce. To be blunt, I've asked God for a lot of things I've never received. Some believers do better than I. They've got great stories to tell at conferences of miraculous interventions by the Almighty. That's why they're on the platform and I'm not. But forgive my cynicism. I suspect that even they are cherry-picking when they select their stories, that they too have unanswered prayers in their lives which they are not mentioning. This raises two questions. Here's the first one. Why does God not answer some blank check prayers? Number one, God doesn't answer some blank check prayers because the offers were never really blank check offers to begin with. Jesus sometimes made absolute statements without adding the exception clauses which clearly existed. Some of these he assumed and others he implied. In John 14:14, for instance, he says, "So that the Son may bring glory to the Father." Obviously, this qualifier limits the field considerably. If I was to make a request which dishonors the Father, Jesus is not about to grant it. And John 5:14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." Our request also has to line up with God's will. Number two, God doesn't answer some blank check prayers because of our poor motives for asking. Would you let a two-year-old play with a hot iron? Of course not. Nor does God give us what will only injure us. James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." In the next verse, James refers to them as adulterous people, committing adultery with the sinful world. Unfortunately, a lot of petitions fall into this category, selfish and sinful. God lovingly says no to what would only spoil or injure us. He wants his gifts to move us toward godliness and not away from it. Number three, God doesn't answer some blank check prayers because he's got a better plan. Remember that John 5:14 and 15 said, "According to his will." Our lives are part of a bigger plan, God's master plan. What he gives us needs to synchronize with his overall goals and purposes. His plan is the best one, for his glory, for the universe, and if we belong to him, for our benefit as well. I added that last clause, "if we belong to him," because in the end it makes all the difference. If we're not in God's family as saved followers of Christ, then God, though he still blesses us, draws some limits on his generosity. For example, although he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous, he still withholds heaven from the unsaved. Only Christ's followers spend eternity at his side. When God says no to our blank check prayers, it's because he wants to give us something even better. It might be an even better job or marriage partner. More often, though, the better includes something that's spiritually better. He'd rather we learn patience than that we escape a tough job or that we grow in compassion through suffering. These are his precious gifts. So what's the point of asking God for anything if there are always some preconditions which may prevent a yes answer? Why ask God for stuff if there's no guarantee that we'll get it? Number one, we ask because he told us to ask. Don't you enjoy giving a gift to a dear friend? So does God. Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. We're often told in Scripture to ask God. He loves to give generously, and he wants us to ask for whatever we need. Number two, we ask because sometimes God withholds a potential gift if we won't ask for it. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. There seem to be gifts which God will only give if we ask for them. Number three, we ask because it humbles us. Asking is a reminder of our dependence on God. It's humbling to realize that without him, we wouldn't even exist, much less enjoy the many blessings we do. Number four, we ask because answering our prayers brings glory to God. This is in line with the last point. When the beggar receives a coin, it's the giver who receives the honor. We're all beggars. When we ask and receive, it's God who gets the glory, not us. And number five, we ask because God has put a desire or dream in our hearts. The Spirit gives us God-sized dreams, and it's a thrill to ask God for them. Perhaps we want to win someone to Christ or touch a whole neighborhood with God's love in some practical way. In conclusion, I believe that there's a balance to be struck here. On the one hand, don't get cynical and stop asking God because he doesn't always answer in the way you want. We're told to ask. On the other hand, keep the holy twinkle in your eyes and pray for God-sized visions. Pray to become like Jesus, to reach the neighborhood for Christ. Pray for ministry resources that would be impossible without God's miraculous hand involved. Keep dreaming.
May God bless you in your journey toward him.